my channel, or if you're listening on the podcast, welcome back to the Plant Power Podcast. This is going to be quite an intensive episode, and I've been wanting to do something like this for a while. I've had all the stuff coming up over the last few weeks about my whole journey in Australia. So I've been here just over 3 years now, and I moved here literally the month before COVID hit. It was pretty crazy. It's just been like such a whirlwind of stuff that's happened, and my life looks completely different to what I planned on happening. And I've been through some incredibly hard times that have really, really tested me, like the bottom of the bottom, rock bottom. So I didn't want this video to be like a poor me thing or a thing to start drama or anything like that. I want to really look at it as a way of how to get through things when life keeps giving you speed bumps, or more than that, life just keeps beating you up. So I want it to be more of like an educational thing and just show like how bad things actually have been at times, because what you see on social media is obviously just everyone's highlight reel. And I've seen a couple of people's posts lately, like one of my friends just moved over to Australia and her and her boyfriend were going great, they're having this time at the beach, and then they've only been here a few months and he literally just left her. So I just want to shine a light that like, crap, that actually happens. And then another company, I got sponsored by this liquid chalk company a while ago. Not sponsored, they just sent me some free product. And that actually helped with my lifts at the gym and everything, because it helps with your grip, especially for Romanian deadlifts and stuff. And then I saw they just put up an Instagram post that their business is shutting down because it didn't quite make it off the ground and she's been grinding hard for years. And that just made me so sad, because it's important that we share these sides of things, that you don't just think everyone around you is successful apart from you and everyone else is just killing it. And I've been doing a lot of reflection on why things have happened the way they have, what I've learned from them, how I can grow as a person, take my experience from those situations and actually improve my future. Because I've really been thinking that so many people just go through life without ever reflecting on anything, or they think, like, they don't actually think about, oh, how can I improve? Most people actually get to old age, and especially if you're a person that thinks like you're right all the time, you don't just sit back to reflect on like, oh, I wonder why that happened, or what did I gain out of that situation, blah, blah, blah. So just bringing a lot more self-awareness into the bad times so that you can actually change your life in the future. So the things I'll be focusing on are, like, the whole thing that happened was moving overseas with my partner at the time, leaving the relationship after needing to do it for a very long time and never thinking that I could live on my own or without him, and then trying to start multiple businesses in another country and places that are maybe not ideal, like with your ideal target audience. So the reason this topic came up is because I did a question box on my Instagram and someone said, what is your worst day of your life? And then I started having intense dreams for a week or two, and all this stuff has come up, and like actually all this childhood trauma now. And I've learned so much about myself in the last 6 to 8 weeks than I have in a long time. It's been crazy, especially since the bodybuilding show has finished. I've got spare space and time now that like you've finished working towards one goal for like an entire year or more, actually space in your brain to think about other things. So the worst day in my life is getting kicked out in the middle of the pandemic and having nothing. I had no car to get to my job, I had no savings, and the borders to my home country were closed, and I just had to go live under my ex's mom's house with no one. I had no friends up there yet. It took me about 11 months to make friends, because I feel like a lot of them were mums or just like a different demographic, like a lot more families. There weren't really many people my age or with my kind of interest. So it did take me a bit longer to even make friends after the move. So that's an important thing to shine light on as well. Like when you pack up your whole life and go somewhere else, there's all these different factors to consider to feel like you've got a community again and got support. So just being stuck there, and we're just in the middle of a pandemic and I can't leave. So that's the worst day. But what I'll do is like take you through some of the worst, hardest things. And this isn't to shame anyone or anything. Like, I've obviously not been perfect, because I didn't know how to be. And a big thing of this is just realizing that what you did in that situation is the best that you could do with your knowledge and experience at that time. So giving yourself a bit of grace. Also, I'm going to be running an intensive transformation coaching program in a couple of months' time. The name popped into my head last night. I was thinking like reborn or something, but it's like a way of recreating yourself. And I'm like, it's not the name. It's going to be something like really cool. I've been sitting on this for maybe a year or a year and a half. Last night, boom, transcend. So it just means to like reach your divine level of humanity. So that will be in a couple of months' time. I'm going to be doing the outline and everything over the next couple of weeks. So if you want to go on the wait list, everything will be in the description below. So you can sign up to my email newsletter and you'll be the first to know when the spots open for that as well. Because I've got a lot of experience of getting through some hard crap. And also, if you like these kinds of videos or podcasts, don't forget to subscribe to the channel or follow the podcast. And you can connect with me on socials at Cassie Amber as well. I'd love to chat with you on there. So the overview, moving to Yeppoon the month before COVID hit, that is the beef capital of Australia, and I wanted to start a plant-based food truck. So my ex-partner's mum was, I was very grateful for it. She brought the truck under her business. I literally had nothing, like I had to sell. My friend had to buy my car off me in New Zealand so that I could pay for my flights and then use some of the extra savings during COVID because I can't get a job in the middle of a pandemic. It was weird. So I didn't have anything at the time. So she brought the food truck under her business, which I was very grateful for. And it took me 6 weeks to get it live because I've never done like paperwork and stuff before. Like you've got to get permits to park on certain areas of the road. You've got to get your food safety thing. You've got to like draw pictures of the trailer about like the sinks and all this like random crap that I don't usually need to do in my business because I've always just done online work. So that was a process in itself, like working with the council and all this stuff. It was very overwhelming. So yeah, that was 6 weeks to get it live, and then I was running it for 6 weeks. And then before that happened as well, because I was so stressed about trying to do all that paperwork, he sat me down and he said, "I'm done. I'm kicking you out of the house," basically. So that was in the middle of the pandemic and I broke down. I did not see that coming on just like a normal night. Like, yeah, I get stressed because I'm trying to do this business on my own, but like I'm not a bad person or anything. So I literally just kicked out by the love of my life and then had to move in underneath his mum. And then my ex was a very social person and I'm very introvert, so he always had friends over, so he just kept having all these parties down there and I was just up there by myself, like spending weekends by myself, Saturday nights by myself. I would just take like Valium and diazepam and like red wine. Like I still have red wine and stuff now. I just have like a little glass and it like that's enough because it makes you quite dehydrated, but I would like actually drink myself to sleep because I couldn't bear the thought of just like being here anymore. I had to call like the helpline. There's a kids helpline for mental health services up to age 25. So even though it's called kids, it takes you right up until your mid-20s. So if you ever need to go through stuff and like need to talk to someone, you can always give them a call anytime and they'll help you out. And they just helped me even with just like soothing practices to help get me through the rest of the night as well. Like just ways of regulating your emotions and calming down, and I'll just cry to them so that I could go to sleep. So I actually didn't want to be here anymore and I'll just call them all the time as like a safety measure. And then the Valium and red wine just mixed together just like takes your feelings away and will just like knock me out. So that was quite a regular occurrence. And then there was always issues in the relationship with other women as well. So I feel like kind of weird sharing this publicly, but I really want to shed light on stuff that I've learned and gone through, because it was never like physical meetups, just messages and stuff like that. But I always thought like if I was, because it's affected my self-worth like so bad. And I'm still recovering to this day and still trying to like rebuild myself in my new relationship now. So what I always thought for all these years was like, if I was interesting enough, why would they feel the need to go out and talk to like all these other women, like five different people? Like the day after we landed in a new country, after I just moved to your parents' farm, talking about like past sexual experiences and flirting and calling them hot and sexy. And it's like, well, if I was enough, they wouldn't need to do that. If I was interesting enough, if I was attractive enough, they wouldn't feel the need to go out and get validation from everywhere else. But it just clicked to me like only 2 weeks ago. So it's a long journey. This all ended just over a year ago. So like I'm still learning things and reflecting things to this day. So this whole time I always thought like, yeah, if I was enough, blah, 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 that wouldn't have happened. But what I realize is if they are secure enough in themselves, one woman's love and attention should be enough. So I kind of flipped the script. If they are obviously so insecure that they need attention from several different areas, because I was so in love, like obsessed, like love of my life, thought we'd be together forever. So if that's not enough for one person, it's not actually me problem. And it's taken me until 2 weeks ago to realize that. That's a long journey. And then I got the food truck live and made it my mission. It was the beef capital and I was serving plant-based food. So that was, yeah, an awesome experience for growth. Even like I'd never put on a trailer before, like even just doing the basic stuff, having to put on a trailer, reverse the car up to it and do all that kind of thing. There are so many technical issues that go wrong in business. So the generator wasn't strong enough to power the truck, so I needed an inverter, but it wasn't. So an inverter holds like covers the noise of it so that you can actually hear people ordering the food, but a generator is so expensive. So I didn't have that, but because it wasn't an inverter, it doesn't manage the power properly. So sometimes I'd get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, finish making all the food. I did this all on my own. Get up at 3, like out to the mountain by 5, would be serving people all day until about 3 p.m. So I was doing coffees, salads, raw slices. I still had a job at a health store 2 or 3 days a week. So sometimes I'd finish early and go work in the health store until the afternoon. Then I'd drive home, then I'd do the grocery shopping, plan all the food for the next day, make like a bulk batch of things, like pots and pots of stuff. At one stage, the dishwasher actually broke, which is against the law, but I had to hand wash the dishes for like quite a few weeks because we couldn't fix it. And yeah, like one day I just did 3 hours of dishes alone. So then I'd cook a lot of that food, and then the mornings would just be like cutting up the slices or just doing the final touches kind of thing. Drive back out to the mountain the next day, and I was doing that 6 days a week. So like I know how to work so much that I work myself into the ground, and this is the first time in my life I've had like proper, I'm trying to, like I've got balance, but it's the first time in my life I've slowed down and like actually taken in moments of the day and not been in a rush all the time and like ruined my health, because I get to the point where I can't get out of bed. So there was like, I don't know, a few days where like I actually couldn't get up, and my body just does that sometimes. I don't know if it's like chronic fatigue or something, just like overworking to your core. Oh my god, why does life do this? I've been talking for like another 15 minutes and then just went to get up and blow my nose, and the phone had stopped ages ago because it overheated. So I just lost that whole thing. I always try to tell myself in times like that, like when you lose content in your business and stuff, that it's for a reason, and like maybe you word things better the second time or something like that. Or I always try to think like it's teaching me a lesson, or like this time better will be like be better. So in the past I used to like fully have mental breakdowns, like what the hell, I'm never doing this again, this stupid piece of crap, and like throw the microphone on the ground and be like crying, like having a tantrum, and like I couldn't even deal with like anything going wrong. So that has happened quite a few times, where like a podcast won't save, or like the Apple store repaired my computer and like wiped all the data and I lost all my videos and all my time invested. So over time I'm learning to be like, maybe the second time around is better, so maybe it happened for a reason. I'm still learning like where to sit in my house to even do these videos as well, that has like minimum noise from outside and good lighting and background. So I'm just like trying different places, but it's like because the light is so good, like afternoon sun, it like overheated the phone. So back to the story. Hopefully there's no double ups. Man, I gotta backtrack so much now. So, food truck. So yeah, sometimes the generator would, yeah, like cut out and break the coffee machine. So I made a big loss on the food that I've made for that day and everything like that as well. And then had to call out the coffee people, then had all these salads that would go off and all that crap. And would literally, yeah, like burn myself into the ground. So they called me in for a meeting and I thought they were gonna ask if I wanted to add the ute onto the, it's not like a lease, whatever you call it, like when you make payments and then eventually you own it, like rent to own. I forgot the word because I'm having a mind blank, but I thought that's what the meeting was going to be about. And they called me in and they said, you've got 7 days to come up with $22,000 or we sell the whole thing. And I just spent hundreds of dollars on stock literally the day before for like all the sustainable food containers and all the coffee cups and all the coffee beans. And I spent like hundreds of dollars just the day before that meeting. And then I get told I've got 7 days, and then spent hundreds of dollars on getting the logo put on the truck, all the money with the council, getting all the approvals, the food safety certificates, all that kind of stuff. So that was crap. And I obviously have nothing and can't get a loan. So I just had to give it up. And yeah, I lost my business. So reflecting now, back at the time, it was obviously the worst news ever. But if they think it's because I didn't do good enough, like we never actually had any meetings as to why or anything. It was just like, this is it, deal with it. But if it's because they think I didn't do good enough, like at least I know in my soul that I poured everything I had into it. And it's only like the knowledge and experience you have at the time. Like I was 23, I'd never done that before. I was in the newspaper twice. So like at least I know that I did my best. And even just little things like I had to carry around the petrol for the generator. But then when I had to work at the health store, I was like, oh, well, I can't leave it on the back of the ute because someone will steal it. So I had to put it in the car. And then I got in trouble because the whole ute smells like gas. So then they said, oh, well, instead of that, like you can put it on the back and just chain it up with a padlock so that no one steals it. But I would always like get like yelled at. But when those things happen, like I've just never been in that situation before. So everything's just like a learning experience. So after that, it was a test of me choosing when enough is enough and what my personal limits are. So I think that's what this whole journey has been about. I've done a lot of reflecting on my childhood, and people always say you choose a partner who's like your dad. And then I've been asked like, how come you're in a relationship like that when your dad is so soft? But it's because of the house I grew up in. So when I was young, I don't think there's one day that there was no yelling. I saw my mom get yelled at every single day, several times a day. So I attracted something that was literally equal to that. Like I always said I'd never be in a relationship where there's like someone raises their voice at me, and that was just the norm. So it's weird how we attract what we think is normal and we're not aware or subconsciously aware enough to even know what's happening or why that's come into our lives. So it's like the universe testing us kind of thing, or it's because that's what we're comfortable with and it's how we feel safe, even though it's literally not safe at all. It's just because we're used to that from our childhood. So seeing my mom get yelled at every day, and then my dad is so soft that he won't even stand up to anyone to start any kind of disagreement. He's like a big softy. So those two things put together, I'm like, well, that explains a lot with how I am in relationships and conflict resolution and dealing with things. Like, I have no idea. I'm just learning this at age 26. So at least I'm learning it now. I guess some people go their whole lives without ever, because they think, like, especially with like narcissism and gaslighting, it's like they're always right. They will be sexting someone else or chatting up another girl because you guys are in a fight, so it's your fault. But it's not their fault for like going out and doing something that's unacceptable. Every single thing is your fault. So someone like that, like, you need to be able to go to therapy and learn about the things that you can improve in and like always be open to growth. But someone who thinks like my way is the right way, they'll stay like that for the rest of their life. So the test of learning what my limits are moved into another married couple's basement because he wanted me to move in with him and receive love letters from his ex in America. And then that was the time I finally stood up for myself and said, actually, no. And it's the first time I'd done that, and it was hard. I didn't want to leave, didn't want to end it. But like love letters, like I found messages like reminiscing on how much they love each other's eyes and their smile. And to me, that was worse than 16 because it's like, yeah, reminiscing on what they had. I'm like, I'm not going to be in this house and get like a love letter from her from the other side of the world. No, I'm not stooping down to that level. So I had to learn my boundaries. And this whole torturous thing was for me to learn, yeah, like learn how to stand up for myself and, yeah, stand up for what is and isn't okay in a relationship to me. So I moved in with this married couple and they were very lovely. They were into plant-based cooking. They introduced me to a few new friends. We'd have like little friend dinners and we went hiking on an island. And that was a positive thing I reflected on after this whole situation, is being able to look at the good. So even though that was terrible, there were nights where I, like months where I didn't want to be here. It was really cool to be in a town like that, that's like secluded and stuff, because we didn't really experience COVID like the rest of the world. We saw everything happening online and it was obviously around, but when all the cities are in lockdowns and people are confined in their homes, and I'm thinking especially people in like apartments who can't even go outside, we could go on the quad bike down to get the mail. I went horse riding on Clydesdales past an abandoned hotel. When I lived with this couple, we went over on a boat and went hiking on this island for a day. So all of that was really good actually for those 2 years, like not being in such a busy area. So even though it was hard to get clients because they're not really the right demographic, blah, 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 and there's all these issues and feeling isolated and having no one, there's always like a positive thing that can come about a situation. So then that is actually when I decided to sign up for my first WBFF show. I'd been living in the basement, eating peanut butter sandwiches and coffee. And I've realized over the years that when I'm having like bad mental health days, that's actually my comfort food for some reason. Just have like a peanut butter sandwich and coffee, but like for every meal, which makes you very nutrient deficient, especially if you're plant-based. Like a few months of that, you are depleted. Like I swear, even from all the stress like and everything, even your hair takes such a long time to recover, and you can like see it in your face, you're like all washed out and stuff. So especially during the lockdowns as well, like I wasn't going to the gym or anything, like they were all closed down. I was trying to do some pathetic home workouts on the lawn. I had never even done like proper weights at that stage, like I'd never done hip thrust or deadlift or anything. And then I signed up to WBFF. I saw it keep popping up on my Instagram and I looked up to those girls. I think they just look so full and like filled out, but just the glitz and the glam, it really was something that attracted me. So I went to my local gym and I said, is there any coaches here who can prep me for the show? It's actually in 6 weeks. I'd never done a show before. And people think that's crazy. Like, people prepare for years, like full on build for like a couple of years, and then like a 16 to 20 week cut, plus sorting all the bikinis, the heels, the posing, the dieting. Like, I just signed up and just like had to have 2 video calls to learn a posing routine. I got a secondhand bikini off Facebook Marketplace. The girl I bought it off had big implants, so I had to actually stuff the bra because it was way too big for me. I did have like a bit of undertone of muscle from like the sport I did growing up, but I'd lost a lot of weight from not eating properly. So I actually like didn't look too bad considering like I just signed up on a whim and have never done anything like that before, never tracked food before. So I was just trying to like learn about tracking protein and stuff for the first time and like trying to use MyFitnessPal for the first time. That was 2 years ago. So signed up and did that show and I got third, and that gave me a huge confidence boost. I had to drive 10 and a half hours from Rockhampton to Gold Coast. Even the bikini, the story, I was thinking about it today. So someone posted online, always try on your stuff before the show. And I'd gotten it taken in because the cups were separate with like a band that connected them. And I took it into the sewing people just to get them joined because the top was way too big for me. But they sewed it upside down. So they sewed it like that. And it was unwearable. So it was literally the day before I had to drive an entire day to get to Gold Coast. And I went in there and I was like, you guys have sewed my bikini upside down. And like, I was just thinking today, imagine if I showed up there would anyone have a spare bikini? Like, all the costs of registration, posing lessons, coaching, everything you've got to buy. Like, oh my god, that could have been a disaster. So the show was, yeah, just the start of something new and really helped get me out of my comfort zone just to stand up there with my idols and get in a placing. Like, I actually burst into tears on stage when they called out my name. I just couldn't stop crying. So that was a highlight of my life. So then I was still infatuated and in love after like 9 months still. So I decided to give it another go. It's always what happens in those relationships. And looking back now, like when you explain it to people, I think when the bad times can be so bad, those sorts of relationships have like the highest highs as well. So it like always draws you back in, or it's like a need of constantly needing to prove yourself to that person, like, okay, I'll be better this time, blah, 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 because like you never feel validated or enough. So you're like constantly trying to prove yourself, which is why you always go back. And even though the bad times are literally terrible, the good times are like the absolute highs. It's two opposite ends of the spectrum. So move back into a new house, and there are a few issues. Like, we were trying to take over a lease, but then the house got taken off the market, and it always happened like that. Like, I never shared him to my social, he never shared me to his social media, and I always think it's because he didn't want to like cut off ties with the other girls so that they would know that he's in a relationship. That's my theory. But then whenever I would share him to mine, like on Valentine's Day, I was like, you know what, we're back together, I'll post a beautiful photo. And then literally the day after, breakup, like badass fights and stuff. So it's just so like up and down, like not stable. So it all went south so fast. We had been trying to find houses because we were going to be homeless now, and he like blamed me. He said I wasn't looking hard enough, or I didn't fill out the forms properly, blah, blah, blah. And I've literally never applied for houses before. I've always just lived private, like in flats and everything, but like the people who have owned the house and stuff like that, or never been on a lease. So I was doing my best, but yeah, just had this big falling out that resulted in threats to my safety to the point where I had to call the police. And that is not done lightly. He was horrified. It was so embarrassing. I do have one funny story. So I had to call the police, and I've got this list on my phone of all the stuff said to me, and I just kept this list of the messages so that I can look back at it one day in the future and just remember. And I looked at it actually yesterday, and I was like, wow, that's bad. Like, I would never have a baby with your crying ass. I'm gonna rip the door off the hinges and throw you out on the street. That was the one that got me to call the cops, because I was like, that's an actual threat to my safety. And there was like 15 other messages the same. I'm gonna take the dog off you so that you've got nothing left worth living for anymore. All that kind of thing. The cops showed up and I came out the front door. He was coming back from a trip away, and they waited with me for a while. But when I was outside talking to the cops, the front door slammed in the wind and my keys were inside, and I just locked myself outside while the cops were there. So I'm like, fuck, I can't get back inside. That's embarrassing. And I was thinking, hopefully he doesn't come home now. So the cops had to just ask this random man who was in a ute parked on the side of the road if they could use the ladder on the back of his car. And then we had to go around to the back of the house, and it was like triple story. There's me climbing up this long ass ladder, trying to squeeze in the bathroom window with like the cops there helping me, and like the man who's like got the truck, and he was just doing what the cops asked because they're police. Like, okay, we'll help this girl get back in. I was like, man, hopefully he does not come home now when I'm trying to break into their own house because the door slammed. It's that's literally just such a silly moment. But he saw the car there and turned around because he wasn't going to get involved with them. And then, yeah, he kept telling me, like, you need to tell them that it's okay, and get them to get off my back. And the cops don't do that, actually, with domestic violence. Like, you can't just say, like, oh, it's okay now, and they'll stop looking into it. They're going to keep looking into it just to question the person about their side of the story, basically, which I think is good, so, because people would get obviously manipulated into like cancelling the request to have it looked into or cancelling the help, because then they would get threatened. So that's there. Actually not feeling safe in my own home was a turning point, because if you call the police on someone, you can't just go to your friends for the 25th time and say, it's okay now, he's changed, or we've changed. You can't keep doing that to them. It affects your friendships as well, because every time they want to have a call with you, you're just crying to them about stuff. So you're a bad energy because you're dragging everyone else down around you. Every time my family would call, I've got problems going on. So they don't want to like hear that stuff if you're not actually doing anything to change it as well. So I moved in with another girl who took me in while I was trying to figure out what to do with my life. And I decided, yeah, I wanted to move to Gold Coast. It was quite hard because I wanted to come to Australia in the first place, to come to Brisbane or Gold Coast, but I only went to Yeppoon because he grew up there. So this is my original plan anyway, and I'm not going to stay there. I can't stay there if he's there, because I'll just cry all the time. I need like a new start, new environment, new people. And it was really hard because I was like, I've got a huge dog, like a Great Dane, so do you get accepted for a house first and then look for a job later? But then how are you going to pay your rent if you don't have a job? Or then do you get a job first, but then where are you going to stay if you don't get a house in time? So it was really awkward, like, and even, I don't know the area, even like looking in Sunny Coast, I don't know all the different suburbs or how far away everything is. So it's actually quite hard to tee everything up to do that big move. And I had nothing to my name still. I worked at a health store about like, yeah, 2 or 3 days a week, like half days. It was just like a midday shift kind of thing. But that was my favorite job ever. And because the shifts were different every day, like you can't really get another job around it. I ended up getting a nighttime job doing like restaurant host or door girl at a nightclub, which was cool. And I did a Saturday thing at a restaurant DJing right at the end, which was cool. But it was hard to work around, but honestly those girls there, my manager just got me through like the hardest times, and it was like the thing that kept me going. I just like was actually really excited to go to work. So that didn't provide me with many hours, and yeah, it was really hard to get clients in Rockhampton. I was doing some one-on-one appointments, but not enough to have like heaps of money to move to a whole new area. So 1.5 weeks before I was ready to take off, the girl says, can you go any sooner? And I said, no, because I need these. I was working double shifts, so working at the health store and then the nightclub, or then like, I think I had 3 jobs and then restaurant sometimes at night time. Sorry, I had to move positions again because the phone keeps overheating. So I've put on the aircon. Hopefully the sound doesn't affect the audio quality too much. So yeah, I was doing like all these jobs, just trying to save as much as I could so I could even get to Gold Coast. And yeah, so it was 9 p.m. and yeah, I was drinking a glass of wine, and yeah, she said, can you go any sooner? So I said, not really, because I need the money from these jobs. So when I get there, I'll get that pay and then that will cover that week's rent. So as you can see, I have been living on the edge, cutting things very close, but that's just what I had to do at the time. And she said I give her too much anxiety, so I need to be up by tonight. So I was ready to hop into bed. I had to get up, pack up all my pantry stuff back into boxes all over again, pack up all my clothes, load the car, literally in the dark. Like I couldn't even wait till the next day for like daylight. Like I had to do it on the spot. I had to call my colleague. Not many people could take me because of my dog as well. So I had to call my colleague and she let me go over there for half a week. Yeah, I had some like games played with me, so drove over there at night. I think I got there at maybe 10 p.m. or something. Just cried to her for a little bit and then went to go get another load of stuff. And the door's locked. And she said, I don't want any intruders coming in the night. And I was like, I've just lived with you for weeks. I'm not an intruder. You said it's got to be done by tonight. So how can I get my stuff out tonight if the door's locked? Oh, it's just so many dumb things and really bad times. And then I had a weekend of double shifts ahead of me. I had to tie my dog to the trampoline at my colleague's house. And this is like a mum with like kids and family and stuff. So I had to go off to work. I didn't have any undies or socks because it was at the house that I couldn't access. Yeah, so she's just like, oh, I'm out all weekend, like all of a sudden, and would keep playing games like, oh, like, you can come between 7 a.m. and 8 a.m. and I woke up at like 8:10, so like missed my chance or whatever. So it was so annoying. So to go to work, come home, had like an hour in between, had to wash my undies and socks in the sink, dry them out in the sun, eat some lunch, go to the next job. I couldn't even buy new ones because I think my jobs, like with the times, it was before anything was opened and after everything closed in the afternoon as well. So I had to do that for 2 days straight, like washing everything in the sink by hand. Like, oh, it's just so many bad things. So I managed to go get the rest of my stuff out of there. And with my bed as well, I had to use the, I had to sell it, hopefully sell it, and the money from that would be used for my bond to secure the house in Gold Coast. Like, just pulling together all my resources trying to make this goal happen. And I think I had like a 2 hour window or something. She said, you can come to the house between these times to just like finish the rest of the stuff. It had like a desk in the bed or something. So to pull apart the bed, put it on Marketplace, and a lady wanted it. And if she wasn't able to come at that time, the girl was gonna take it to the dump, which would be a $500 loss, and I wouldn't be able to pay my bond. So had to go there, clean it, because it was a material, beautiful headboard, and like sometimes the dog hairs get stuck in there, so I was just trying to do my best. The lady came within the time frame, got the bed, got the cash, so I could pay the bond. Like, cutting it so close, if one little thing went wrong just then, the whole thing would have just failed. And then my colleague, her daughter was coming back, so she needed to use the room that I was staying in, so I could only stay there for half a week. So my friend, who was lovely enough, said that I could go stay at their mum's house, which was quite a drive away from any of my jobs, but I didn't know who they were or anything. I had no connection to them, but they took me in and gave me a room for half a week. So I had to drive an hour into town each day to do my double shifts, drive an hour back, like check my dog, make sure she's okay, because she's getting dragged around to all these places. Like, they need time to get used to their environment and like make the home theirs, and she's just like not feeling comfortable. So driving back to check on her, drive back to do the night shift, come back, blah blah, wake up first thing in the morning, go again. It was just, oh, luckily they were so lovely, and they even had like cats inside and stuff, and my dog was so good. Even with the cats, they would like look at each other from across the room, and the cats were nervous, but my dog, luckily, like, yeah, big dogs are so chill, so there was no issues, which was really good. So I'm very grateful that they took me in, and they said, you can come back at any time if things happen in the Gold Coast and you need to come back and need somewhere to stay. You're always welcome here. And that was so special, because I've just been told by all these people that I'm horrible. I get kicked out by the love of my life. I had to leave from like his mum's house, like kicked off the property in a really messy way when that all went down, because they were like, he was like yelling at her, all the stuff. And then kicked out of that girl's house and at like nighttime. So all these people like had such a big issue with me. And then for someone just to say, who didn't even know me, you can come back at any time, it's been a pleasure having you, I was like, oh, wow, maybe I'm not so horrible after all. So the next stage of the journey, moving to a health retreat in the hinterlands, which was beautiful. I filled up the car, I had $50 to buy food on the way, because I'd obviously, yeah, just come out of a horrible situation. Packed up the car, put the dog in the back, and drove 10 and a half, probably maybe took me even 11 or 12 hours with like stopping on the way and stuff. And finally arrived in Gold Coast, and I thought this was gonna be it. A health retreat. Living at a health retreat in the forest. Like, how could you get any better? And I was like, my life is transformed. Like, waking up to see the view each day, I was like, how could you ever have a sad moment in this house with that kind of view? And it was meant to be like a commune where we all take turns doing the gardens and have space away from the government and all this stuff. And that just ended up teaching me a whole bunch of lessons on like a lighter level. Like, it wasn't as, oh, it got intense, but wasn't as treacherous. Oh, kind of did get treacherous at times, but it was like a lower level. Like, the person, it was not intentional, that's what I'll say. So like, things went wrong, but they're not trying to do that. It's just the way they are. They have unresolved trauma, so I've grown enough to know that, whereas the other people, it's like come from a place of hate kind of thing. Within a couple weeks, she thought that my dog was gonna eat her little fluffy dog. So my dog had to be locked in my room at all times, and it was like annoying, but it started to get really hard after a while. So she wanted me to put her in a cage outside, and she's never done that. She's always like sat on the couch like with us inside at the flats and stuff. So she's never been just like outside in a cage when everyone's talking and having fun somewhere else. She would cry because she's stuck there. She doesn't know why, and she just wants to be involved. So then that would disrupt everyone else because she's like howling because she wants to get out and would honestly like dig holes to escape, like broke through the wire, like kept having to try get it fixed and trying to do like manly tasks. Like I literally can't bend wire with my hands, like just trying to do all these things. It was so overwhelming, getting in trouble because my dog keeps breaking out. Can't go anywhere because if she's in my room, if she's in the cage, she cries nonstop whether people are around, like around anywhere. So, but if she's in my room and everyone's talking in the lounge and laughing, she wants to know what's going on and she doesn't know why she's locked in a room. So then she would like kind of whine, and then I got told, well, you can't leave the house without her because the other flatmates are going to move out. So I had to start taking her to the hairdresser. I had to start taking her to the gym. Luckily, I worked from home a lot of the time. I worked at a cafe down the road where she would have to stay in there for half a day. It wasn't long shifts, luckily, so I could like come home and let her out to go toilet and stuff, and always stayed on top of walks. But just having that, like, you can't go anywhere without your dog. You can't do anything in life. And I went through some more hard times. I was trying to apply for a job at a gym, and it was like my fourth shift or something on trial, and yeah, I broke my little toe. So then I couldn't go to the shift because I had to go get x-rays, and then the next shift I couldn't go to because I needed to get the bone straightened. And then with the dog issues as well, they said, we don't think you're ready to have a job. So then I was 6 weeks with a foot cast, whatever you call it, for foot splint. I had to keep it elevated a lot of the time. It was only my pinky toe, but it was like in the knuckle kind of thing. And because I'm from New Zealand, I can't get help from Australian government with any funding to pay rent or anything. Even though it's like a health issue and I'm physically unable to work, I can't access any government support. So that really got me down in the dumps. It was hard to even drive, like at first, because the foot thing is so big. Like if the blood rushed to my foot, if I knocked it on anything, oh, it would move the bone, it would be so sore. So just like, oh, just all these feelings come crashing down, just feeling like so hopeless, just wanting to give up so many times, and not wanting to move back to New Zealand. But I'm like, if I can't pay rent or like anything like that, I'm gonna have to go and move in back with my nana and go live off grid, because they moved out of the town to get off grid as well. And I got called an animal abuser by several different people because I had to keep my dog in the room, but if I don't, I'm gonna get kicked out of the house and I'm gonna be on the street. I don't have anyone here. I don't have anything. I don't have any backup or support. I don't have a network. So what am I meant to do? Like, I just have to follow the rules until I can sort something out. And with the housing market like it is, I don't work full time because I work for myself. I do online nutrition and all that other kind of stuff, and was getting into DJing as well. And I've just like worked casual jobs, like the health store was casual, the cafe class is casual, so you can't get on rentals with that. Having a huge animal, let alone any animal at all, but like a Great Dane, not like a little fluffy dog. And then no rental history, never been on a lease at like age 25 back then. So yeah, I was like I couldn't really do anything. I just had to do what I was asked and just like try to make it work. And then getting called an animal abuser by several different people. I'm literally plant-based. I have literally dedicated my life to helping people like reduce their meat intake or stop eating meat because I freaking love animals and she's the light of my life. That just freaking hurt me so bad, man. So that was something in itself. And then all this weird stuff just started happening around the house where it's just everyone's trauma and like not knowing how to work through it, and all these like random little rules and stuff. And like my car broke down on the driveway because it got fixed, but the gravel was like this big, and it actually got to a point where it was dangerous because no one was home. I was letting my dog outside to go toilet in the morning before starting my cafe job, and then she started yelping like I thought it was a snake bite, like crying in the distance, like, ah! And I was like, Millie, and sprinted outside. And I was like looking in the ground for like a snake or something. And I was thinking, man, if she had been bitten by a snake just then, I wouldn't actually be able to get her to my car to get her to the vet. So she would die. Like, it was getting to that point. The gravel on the driveway was this big. Even just trying to close the gate, like, you could almost slip and like face plant. And it was like a hike to the top. Like, I would actually have an asthma attack. And then, yeah, my car blew a piston and broke. So then I'm down, what, $4,500, like, owing for that car. Still need to buy another one. It's just been like one thing after another. And then even just like trying to work from home. But then if you leave your room for anything, you get talked to straight away about, like, you're trying to write an ebook and then you're like, oh, I'm busting to pee, or like, I need to make a coffee or get a snack. And you're like, oh, gotta leave the room. So you like open the door and then get talked to about Tinder dates and stuff. And you're like trying to be in the zone so that you can earn money so that you can actually pay rent. But that's been a hard thing for me, is like learning to stand up for myself and say, oh, hey, sorry, I can't talk right now because I need to do something. So they want you to stand up that you feel comfortable, but then when you stand up, then they feel rejected, like you don't want to talk to them. So how do you find the middle ground between both people? Like, I actually need to be in business zone right now. It's business hours. Like, when you work from home, you need to have some kind of structure, not just like hanging out all day. Like, you need to make money. So little things like that, like learning to work together, that just like didn't go to plan. And then, yeah, issues just started piling up. I found some photos I took at some stage of my bedroom. I invited a guy over once who I thought was going to be like the next one, and after he saw my room, he like he ended it. We'd only hung out a few times, and I don't think it was my room that did it. It was just like that he wasn't ready, but he came over and I hadn't planned on having a guest, and like, man, I just found these photos of shit everywhere, like major depression room. Like, I didn't realize, like, I knew it was bad at the time, but looking back now that I'm in a house with like white walls, just seeing what it was like my dog had hit over my mirror, so there was like smashed glass all on the ground and like all this washing on the bed and like dog hair everywhere, because even in this house, like, I've got to vacuum every 2 to 3 days because every time they walk anywhere, the dog hair just goes everywhere. Like, it was, yeah, just so hard to keep clean, but it just really showed me a lot about my mental state. And you can see how like washed out I am in my face and just exhausted, not eating properly. I was gonna do another bodybuilding show and the person decided to sign up as well, and then made negative comments about my body, which I'd never had in my life, which then caused body image issues for the first time, being around someone who looks in the mirror and cries at themselves because they're too fat. Then that started to rub off on me, like, oh, now I'm not ready for the show. Am I even muscly enough? Am I making enough progress? And then I went to hospital with a kidney infection, and that got caused by a UTI. And then get told, like, yeah, your physique has gone backwards and you don't have enough muscle and you're not ready. That affected me for months. I've never been told anything like that in my life. I've always been, like, complimented on my physique and stuff. So that was another issue. Then I didn't do the show because I had to pay for the car and stuff. So then I still had to go there and watch them do it, even though it's like my dream. They only did it to like tick it off their bucket list, but like, yeah, good for them. But I had to go and watch them do it when I was supposed to be up there, and I'm only put out from living at that house and like getting told that stuff. And yeah, it was just really, really hard. But then I met my partner, and I want to do a different podcast on this whole story because this has been an interesting journey. He is the opposite of what I was looking for and what I thought I liked. And I went over to his house for a photo shoot. He was so professional, like, didn't come on to me at all. Even like the language used during the photos, he's like, oh, that pose is pretty. Like, never said anything like hot or sexy. He was so professional, like contracts and everything, never came on to me. Something about him just like sparked my interest. And yeah, I just like messaged him a few weeks later. Yeah, I'll talk about that more like in our own podcast, but he was very honest with me at the start. Like, he was like, oh, like, thank you for your message, but I'm seeing my ex, so yeah, I can't like go like pursue anything, if that makes sense. And people have said to me, like, oh my God, was that embarrassing? Or like, did that make you just feel so bad? And I was like, no, it was actually good, because someone who's honest, someone who just says like, oh, sorry, I'm seeing my ex again, so I can't like talk to you. I was like, wow, that's so respectful of the girl. And yeah, I've never had such upfront communication. So I was like, wow, that's really respectable. So once that ended, then he, yeah, said that we can hang out, blah, blah, blah. We went on some dates. And his lease was ending, so we started, we'd only been dating like 2 months, and we kept hinting about like moving in together. It was so soon, because he'd be like, oh, maybe I should get an air fryer. And I was like, you don't necessarily need an air fryer, meaning like if we live together, then he can use mine. It's so funny, both of us knew like this is really soon, but we're hitting it off so well and just enjoying every moment together. So trying to find a house was hard. I had to go back to New Zealand for New Year's, and he actually said that, well, he got me out of the other property. His lease was ending, but I could move in there for like 2 weeks or something, or maybe it was a month or something, just to get out of the other place and just have somewhere safe. And it's crazy, like when you go through all these times, all you want is like a safe room, like a relaxing room. And when that girl kicked me out in Rockhampton, and I actually didn't have a room, all my stuff was in my car, I was like, all I want right now is a safe bedroom. When I had to call the cops on my ex and all that stuff, like, you just want somewhere safe to relax. You don't even have your basic needs met. So he got me out of that house. I moved in there short term until we could find somewhere together. I think he stayed like home on New Year's and didn't go out so that he could look after my dog while I was in another country. Then, yes, 2 days after I landed in New Zealand, I was so stressed because I had to pack up everything and didn't have a house to move into. So like, if we didn't have anywhere, we'd have to move in with his parents or something, like ages away. The day after I landed up in New Zealand, we actually got accepted for a house. So he stayed home on New Year's, moved house for me. I left everything in an office, and he did the whole thing. Sorted out a couch, got a TV, got knives for the kitchen, like moved house for me. And we just met, like, 2 to 3 months ago. So comparing the effort from two different people, like being told everything you do wrong and getting yelled at all the time and like just being made to feel like scum, versus someone going like above and beyond when they barely know you to make you happy and provide a safe space for you and take care of you, and just someone who's honest. Like, I've never felt the need to like look on his phone because I know he loves me so much. I've never felt second guess anything. Whereas like before, I'd be like, oh my God, like, has this thing happened again? Are they messaging people again? And always worrying. But this time, like, it's not even a question in my mind, and I've never had that feeling for so long, which is so nice. Reflecting on it now, because back then, I would always call my best friend and like hope that I'd be over it in like 2 months. And she said, oh, it'll probably take you like a year, like at least at the end of the year, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, a year or 2 years? Like, how do you move through something? No, like, it can't take that long. Like, I've got stuff to do. But healing actually does take a long time. So as I've mentioned, like, so much stuff I'm even still learning to this day and reflecting back to things in my childhood. The next step for me as well, on Monday, so this will probably happen before this episode goes live, I've got an appointment with a psychiatrist to see if I have ADHD and or PMDD, which is premenstrual dysphoric disorder. And I've had issues for years around my time of month. I've been off the pill for maybe a year, a year and a half now, but it's gotten really bad lately, where right before, my mood will drop so bad that it's very extreme. Like, I don't want to be here again. I just want to like throw in the towel, give up. Extremely depressed and extreme aching in my bones, like my shins. I was taking like 8 painkillers a day a couple weeks ago, and extreme rage. I couldn't be in public a couple weeks ago. And then a couple days into my time of month, I wake up and I'm like, oh, everything is just great. I'm so excited for my future. Like, just so blasé and happy, like two very extremes. So I think I do have PMDD. I've been like got an ultrasound for endometriosis in the past, but you'd need to get the keyhole surgery, which I'm not going to do. And if I have ADHD, my whole life is going to make sense. My family don't really believe in mental health stuff. It's hard to explain. Like, I always thought, like, oh, I thought that as well. Like, why does everyone in the world seem to have a problem and, like, a mental health issue? And I'm normal, but why are so many people affected? But then I went to New Zealand and my friend... I thought it was, like, little boys who can't concentrate at school. But I've seen all these people come out online getting diagnoses around this age because we mask it our whole lives, especially with my upbringing. I've just freaking dived into so much stuff with, like, the need to please my parents as a kid and, like, never feeling enough because I, like, got kicked out at age 16. I just got told heaps of stuff. When the phone cut out before, another part cut out, I just remembered when I was having, like, a meltdown a couple weeks ago. I was just driving, listening to a podcast about our imprint years, and I just remembered that when I was a kid, I got told that I'm not normal and I need to go to a mental home. And obviously I've been burying that for years, and I had a call with my coach a week ago, and she said, once you finally feel safe in your relationship, that's when stuff from the past can come up because your mind's not bogged down by all the stuff that's happening every day. So I'm not in this stressful flat, like living with guys, walking on eggshells, having all this stuff going on in the relationship. My mind can finally start to settle, and now, like, all these old memories are coming up. And I pulled into the garage and I burst into tears because I was like, who tells their daughter that they're not normal and they need to go to a mental home? So now all these things are clicking. I've never felt normal or like I fit in my whole life. In any flat, I've never felt like completely part of it. I've always been friends with them and gotten on, but I always feel like they're like the close-knit group and I just like can talk to them, but I'm never like fully part of any group. At school as well, like I always wanted to hang out with the popular girls, but like I was never part of the group. But yeah, I was just thinking like, yeah, all those things from your childhood, constantly needing to like please them and never feeling enough, even when you do every sport and you compete countrywide. I was a 100 meter sprinter and then did like netball, I did rugby, I did 4 different types of dance, I started ballet from when I was 5, but competed mostly in athletics, and then get told, why don't you stick to one thing and actually get good at it? So even now that like affects me, because my brain just works like that. I have interest in a lot of things, I get bored very easily. I don't want to just work a full-time job doing the same thing every day. I need to have, like, I've always done, like, 3 jobs so that every, like, 2 days things are, like, switched up. I've always got lots of interest. I like doing nutrition. I like doing DJing and, like, doing all this other stuff and doing the recipe app and making a program. Like, I like, it's just how my brain works. But constantly needing to people please as a kid, and then because I'm so introvert and like not like I never wanted to be the leader of a team, like the house captain or leading groups of people or like a manager role. I just like to work by myself or within a group. Then getting told like, oh, why didn't you go for school captain, blah, blah, blah. And like, I'm a good kid. Like I did so well. And it's just like the feelings of never being enough. So then going into a relationship where you don't feel enough for like 4 years. I'm 26 now and just realizing this deep as stuff that is all coming up because of, yeah, like your imprint years and then how your relationship brings up that same stuff, and then moving into that household at the retreat and then like the same stuff coming up again and never pleasing anyone and never being able to do anything right and everyone's always angry at you and stuff. So yeah, if I do have ADHD, that will explain a lot of things because it can contribute towards like a lot of socializing, like it can affect how you socialize with people and your views on yourself, and you can get so overwhelmed that you get like a paralysis as well. And then people from the outside view it as lazy, but it's like there's so much that you don't know where to start, so you just like sit down. Like I've seen so many videos now that I've started looking into it, and like, yeah, I don't know, everything just makes sense. So that appointment's on Monday, so whichever the diagnosis is, like it'll be good to know the reasons for things, and then I can actually take appropriate actions in my life. And the thing with PMDD as well, if I do have that in relation to my time of month, like when me and my ex broke up, it was when I was on my period, and yeah, I did have like, I was moody. I literally can't help it, like I just get so moody. And he was like, yeah, you're on your period, blah blah, and was angry as at it, which most women, we it's actually our hormones. Like, our bodies can't do anything about it, and we can try to control it. Like, yeah, eat some chocolate, do some stress release. Like, I like doing weights, doing outside, going for outdoor walks. You can get the vitamin D and fresh air, blah, blah, blah. Like, you can do things, try have a rest night in bed and look after your body. But if I actually do have a PMS disorder, then that means that, like, yeah, I don't know, like, I'm getting blamed for things that's actually my body. Like, I'm not choosing to be like that. You can manage it and now be aware, but I obviously didn't know that back then. So now I can take those tools and apply them to my future so that, like, my current partner can work around it and know the days that I might not be good, or know when to just tread a bit more lightly or something. So we're getting to the end of it now. So I just wanted to say that I felt so scared of putting this out there because I don't want people to think I'm trying to start drama or blah, 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 or blame people for anything. But I just wanted to give an insight into what things are actually like, because we always see the highlight reels online and you don't really see people's struggles with starting a business or in a relationship. You see everyone's nice posts on Valentine's Day and you're like, oh wow, why isn't my relationship like that? But they obviously have stuff going on behind the scenes as well. There's always stuff that you don't see, and people will look up to me online and say, like, oh, she's, yeah, like this influencer, like doing all this cool stuff, and yeah, I've done some cool things, but this journey has been a roller coaster for sure. And with DJing as well, I never thought that I was gonna get one gig. My first debuts when I lived back there, I played up in Mackay a few times, and when I moved here, I didn't know anyone and I'm very introvert, so I was like, well, am I ever gonna get one DJ gig again? And I've just put myself out there and made connections, and I've literally had bookings and played at Bushoffs and just proven to myself that I can do it. And I do things that scare me all the time. Even at the Bushoffs, I'll be shaking before I hop on stage because I'm so terrified, but I love it at the same time. You just, like, gotta do things that scare you and just push yourself to actually follow your passions, because I think people just thought, like, oh, I'll just give up because it's not like my true passion. But I've kept going and kept trying to get gigs, and like, I've actually done it. So you can surprise yourself. So what did I learn from this whole thing? And wrapping up, some tips on dealing with rock bottom. Why did my ex act like that? Because of his childhood trauma. So why did their parents act like that? Because of their childhood trauma. Why did the person I was living with at the health retreat act like that? Because of their unresolved trauma. That's what I'm really learning, because I've been going to therapy and gotten confidence coaching. We just have so much stuff. We perceive the world based on our own experiences and things that have happened to us. So those people only act like that because that's just how their brain works, because they haven't worked through things. And I wasn't perfect back then because I haven't even learned what I've learned now. And I've realized that's the benefit of getting older as well. You actually have a lot more self-awareness and so much more life experience. So it's actually cool to get older. And I thought when I was in my young 20s, like, oh my God, this age would be so old. But looking back now, I'm like, wow, I was just a baby. Like, I didn't know anything back then. So getting older is actually amazing because you get more experience and more self-awareness. Why did my family unintentionally inflict this trauma onto me? Because of their upbringing. And then why were their parents like that? Because of their upbringing was weird. So everyone just has this unresolved crap that affects how they act and behave in the world. I think it's always good to reflect on the positives. Like, the relationship, there was obviously so many good times, which is why I kept going back. But the fact that I've learned to stand up for myself now and, like, put my foot down and not be a doormat, that's like a huge life lesson to learn. So many people are still going through issues like that with domestic violence and stuff later on in life when there's kids involved, and they just stay in it for years and years. So, like, it could be worse. I could have still been in it till I was 35 or something. Like, you never know. So just the tools and everything that you pick up through going through all these hardships, there's only one way to get the life experience, and that's just to go through it. You only do your best with your knowledge and experience at the time. So with the food truck, navigating housing situations, all that kind of thing, I could only show up with, like, the knowledge that I've got and perspectives that I've got to, like, try deal with things. So as long as you're doing your best, you can't really do anything else. As long as you're always willing to improve and reflect on things and work together and just, like, just trying to always evolve as a person, like, that's all you can wish for yourself. And another thing is just sometimes you can't really hurry up the process of things, and things just take time. So even I've been thinking, like, when I have very vivid dreams, I try to think, like, what are the dreams trying to tell me as well? That might sound weird, but they show you stuff. If it's, like, something really vivid that you wake up and you think about it all day, like, why do I have that weird thing? There'll be, like, messages in there about things that you may need to change in your life and stuff, or things that you may not be over yet, or still more unresolved trauma. Just like taking your time. You're not going to be over things within a couple of months if it's been like years and years of things piling up, like all that crap that I went through. I have this thing now where I hold on to any one tiny comment. If someone says something small, like when the lady criticized my physique, or if I get told, like, oh, I don't think you did enough in the day, like, you're not being productive enough, I will hold on to that story and make it my reality and criticize myself every day, beating myself down because of all the stuff I've been through. So this is really bad. So I've still got all this extra stuff to become aware of and get coached through, like further therapy and deep coaching. And just always remember that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. All those nights when I was so sad, I didn't want to be here, I had to call the lifeline one night and I was just like, I just want to hop on the quad bike and just keep driving. And I was like, I'm not going to, but I just need to call you guys for safety reasons, and I just need help and support. And you go through those times, you just think, like, this isn't gonna get better. This is so dumb. I'm just drinking myself to sleep every night. I'm not eating anything. I'm just living off bread. I'm just on my own. Just so many sad thoughts, and you just think it's gonna be like that forever, and like, when will things ever lift up? Things get better because I'll go through such depressive times and then something amazing happens, like get booked for a really cool DJ gig, or like have a major accomplishment in my business, or build a new friendship, get a new house. I'm living in my dream house right now. Met a lovely man who actually takes care of me, who is honest and so softly spoken, like will never raise his voice, actually knows how to communicate. Like, so many good things have happened and I'm finally in a good spot now. Yeah, I just always say that to people, like, you can have those few days, weeks, or might even be months of those treacherous times, but it does end. You do have to go out there and do the work as well, and like diving deep and doing the mental work and going out to do activities and meeting people and saying yes to things that scare you. Like, you've got to do those for things to get better, but it does get better if you want it to be. So I'll wrap up this episode for now. It was a long one, but I think it's really helped me work through everything in my head as well, just speaking it out, and I hope that it can inspire some people. I want it to be taken on a positive note about things that you can learn and take away from it, instead of this like negative chat about how horrible everything is. There is a light at the end of the tunnel. You can change your life. You can create the life of your dreams. Don't forget that I will have my intensive transformational coaching program going in a few months' time, where I like go through lots of the things that help with self-doubt and all the stuff with like diving deep into your inner demons, basically. So it's going to be like a very transformational thing after everything that's happened. So all the links for that will be below. Thank you so much for tuning in. I really appreciate your time. Hope you took away something valuable from it, and stay tuned for next week. Thank you.